So today I'll be talking about work in progress with Panos Spetsios and Olga Papadoulaki, who's a postdoc here. And I'll be talking about certain class of operators in matrix models who we think are candidates for something for bulk geometry, which is analogous to wormholes. So the motivation is that, we know that, and funny things can happen when one sums over pairs of infinitely many states in CFT1 and CFT2 in the context of holography. For example, the well-known, and not sure if this is the only example, but the most well-known example of this is the thermofield double, which is a sum of over energy eigenvalues of e to the minus beta en over 2 with the two entangled states in theory 1 and theory 2. And the result of this thermal field double state, the proposal was that having this infinite sum creates a Lorentzian bridge between CFT1 and CFT2. And one can wonder, how general is a statement of this sort? Are there classes of operators that one can sum over? Are there infinite classes of operators that one can sum over in some, sorry?
States operators.
So these are states, yes. But I'm asking how general is a statement of this sort? Mm-hmm. So here there is an infinite sum over states, and this state is living here. It's dual to a Lorentzian wormhole. A question is, how general is the lesson from the thermal field double? For example, can we sum over infinitely, so an infinite family of operators in two different theories, suppose, and still get some sort of geometry which looks like a glued copy of, still get some holographic bulk which looks like some glued copy with asymptotic boundary being the two CFTs or some connected version of the two CFTs. And we'll in fact find that the asymptotic boundary that in this example is a, the conformal boundary happens to be connected. As a motivation, I want to ask how general is a statement that one can really have a connected bulk geometry by entangling states or by summing over an infinite class of operators in some CFT. And so the simplest setting to ask such questions in a UV-complete setting, so the simplest in the sense of both the bulk and the boundary being tractable, is the context of half PPS Wilson loops in n equals to 4 Suprang mils. And they've been studied quite extensively, both in the bulk and the boundary. And their expression, so for the half BPS case, the problem reduces to a Gaussian matrix model, which is especially tractable. So the Wilson loop is given by trace in some representation. This representation could be very large, or long, or tall. path order exponential of a plus. In the happy PS case, we'll choose one of the scalars. And this is not exactly the holonomy, but because in localization, one needs to do an analytic continuation of this scalar. And this one component of this scalar is the one that survives. And the result is given by this analytic continuation of the irreducible representation of the irreducible UN representation. And M is a Hermitian matrix model. So it's not a unitary matrix.
And this equality means that this will be inserted in the localization in the table.
Sorry?
This equality means that this is what you will insert in the localization.
Yes, yes, that's right. That's right. So yeah, so in fact, I'll just write that down. So this operator is placed inside an S1 and S4, where the gauge theory lives, a great S1. And it's defined as the Hermitian integral over with this Gaussian factor. And this looks very simple, and it is, but there's a lot that can be hidden inside this representation. To give a preview of our proposal, it's that instead of considering something like the thermal field double, where one sums over infinitely many classes of energy eigenvalue states, energy eigenstates, one can sum over, consider an infinite sum over representations of trace of R e to the m 1, where this is inserted in one theory. And we'd like to take the expectation value of this whole thing. And so consider an operator like this, where you can bring inside this expectation value inside the sum. And in fact, the taking the expectation value breaks down into sum over pairs of expectation values in the two theories. The proposal is that taking an infinite sum over these pairs of Wilson loops can result in something that looks like a glued geometry, glues BPS geometries. I'll call an operator like this. So let's denote as delta 1 2 this infinite sum. We think this is an approximate statement because there could be other dominant saddles which contribute to the equilibrium eigenvalue distribution of this expectation value. So notice that each sum end is factorized, but there's an infinite sum over R. So the two theories are coupled only on R. So the picture one has is this Wilson line inserted in R and R. and sums over R. So this is like the maximally mixed analog of the thermal field double. So maybe in the bulk geometry, we'll.
So you're summing over all representations?
All representations. So at large n. So these operators have been studied in the topological string context. And sometimes they're called Uguri-Bafa operators. They come from when you have two Lagrangian A brains intersecting on a knot. There are bifundamental fields, can be a scalar or a fermion. And when you integrate them out, you get this or the fermionic counterpart, which has another transpose in here. And it turns out that both operators will need to be there for us.
Those come out from something like quantum mechanics in extremely multiple functions on G.
Can you repeat the last? Right? Sorry?
Is it a regular representation, I think?
It's an irreducible representation.
No, it's a sum of products of irreducibles.
Yes.
I think it's probably the representation of the group from the left and from the right on itself, basically.
Yes.
On the extremely multiple functions of the group.
So this can come from integrating bifundamentals. So chi could be a boson, or actually here it's a boson. X bar d a1 a2 chi.
This is all for un, right?
For un.
Yes. Okay. So you're going un. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So in that context, one has Trin-Simons theories on various three manifolds intersecting on a knot. And this is the degree of freedom that lives on the knot. And this is the annulus, the annulus instanton contribution.
Which Trin-Simons theories?
So Trin-Simons theory on the S3 of T star S3. Intersecting with another.
Which theories were we talking about? Sorry, I'm confused.
Oh, sorry. So I'm giving an analogy to a past work that's been done in the context of topological strings.
Can you elaborate a little bit? Sorry.
Yes. So, I was just trying to explain that operators of this sort are quite ubiquitous when one has some gauge theories intersecting over a one-dimensional locus where
D-brains, not gauge
theories. Yes, D-brains. Yes, D-brains intersecting over a one-dimensional locus where one places a Wilson loop.
No, sorry. D-brains intersecting on a one-dimensional locus will give you some strings between the D-brains.
That's right. These are the strings.
You need to add on top of it a Wilson line. The D-brains intersecting without.
Okay. Yes. I think that is the correct statement. That's right. You also get operators like this. If you have a Wilson loop in a particular representation and you try to split a big fraction of them away from the others.
It's a bit confusing for Nicole Foster-Miss because if you have two stacks of the three brains, I don't think they can intersect supersymmetrically along.
Yeah, that line. I agree, yeah. So I do not know a top-down. Yeah, I don't know of a top-down construction, but I know the matrix model that you get after splitting a big stack away from the N, the full N, and the up to an extra linear potential, you get this operator insertion. So between this operator insertion between the back reacting stack M1 and the other big fraction stack M2. The effect is inserting an inverse determinant. I can show you if you're curious. But yeah, we're trying to treat the M1 and M2 symmetrically here, and just insert an operator of this sort, either bosonic or fermionic. And well, as you might guess, you can do this for not just a pair of S4s, but you can have various numbers of S4s which have sort of cyclic interactions. So in this case, you might have delta 1, delta 1, 2.
The single polarization in Tega will also come up for boundary for interfaces. The more interesting intersecting along three dimensions.
I see. Is that a Janus configuration?
Not a situation where the two theories end on a common interface, but suppose somehow they intersect in three dimensions. What I was saying is that instead of putting Wilson lines that talk to the two theories, you could put the three dimensional degrees of freedom, which talk to the two theories.
Uh-huh.
And three dimensional multiplets.
Uh-huh.
And I think they would give in the same as the bosonic integral.
I see. Is there an operator description of that?
Once you go to localization, they both insert this one dimensional integral.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It'd be nice to learn more about that. String theory often has many descriptions for things you might identify to be the same state, and in Wilson lines. I'm going to be a bit pedagogical in this talk for the rest of the audience. The bosonic symmetries that are preserved by the Wilson line are SO12, SO3. So this includes dilatations, time translation, and special conformal. This is the rotation. So for a time-like Wilson loop, this is a rotation fixing the Wilson loop. And there is also another bosonic part coming from choosing a normal vector, choosing a particular scalar. And this reflects itself inside ADS5 times S5 in terms of sub-manifolds, which are whose isometries are given by this bosonic symmetry. And so let's just take the Euclidean version. ADS2 cross S2 descends from ADS5. So these are just based on symmetries, we're sort of making a guess for how what kind of components of the geometry must be preserved. So one gets ADS2 times S2 times S4, which descends from S5. And then there's a remaining two dimensions left over. And we're going to call that sigma. And when one studies representations of order one, so order one number of boxes, that's dual to fundamental strings living inside.
Your microphone is
on. Oh, that's right. Yeah. So that's dual to fundamental strings on ADS2. When one studies representations of order n, if they're long representations, if they're given by sort of this horizontal line. This is a symmetric, so it's a D3 living on ADS2 cross S2. If one has a very tall anti-symmetric representation, this is best described in terms of a D5 living on the ADS2 component and the S4 component. But when one has order n squared number of boxes, as I said, a lot can be hidden inside this representation. And an order n squared number of boxes is described by a full-fledged geometry.
So understand, just one second. So this D3 inside wrapping at least two denses two, right? So it's a point on S5?
It's a point on S5, that's right. So this is the grade S4, yeah. And then there's a point of S5 that's fixed.
Can I think about it as coming from a liberty intersection through the tree brain, of a tree brain with original stack? A little confused by the geometry.
Yeah, I think Jamma worked this out a while ago, and one can think of it as a
wrapped whole S4. No, it's a, well.
So
what does the one do on the S4?
It's just sitting at on the point.
Ah, okay, with this one, of course.
Right. Yeah.
It's good, right? Because in terms of stacks, it's not the new horizon limit of a stack of a transverse treatment somehow. Interesting. Does the transverse treatment come from one direction along this? The transverse 6, because it's a point in S5.
Uh-huh.
And then we have to share a lot more directions with these D3.
Well, they're intersecting along time direction, but yes. Their spatial directions are
I think it's because we just said a moment ago, we cannot find supersymmetric configuration of choose stacks of D3 brains intersecting along a line. But somehow in the Bach-Hertha geometry,
yeah,
there is a place you can put a D3 brain to make a Wilson-like line-like thing. Excuse us.
Yeah. They're also in order to support these in the regime where DBI is valid, they need to be accompanied by some units of fundamental charge, string charge.
Yes, that's true.
So when one has order n squared number of boxes, one has a full-fledged geometry. And these geometries for irreducible representations have been classified by a heroic effort by the UCLA group, Gutperl, Docker, and Estes. So now this sigma, which was the remaining piece, should be seen as this lower half plane. But now there are certain number of cuts that are on this on the boundary of this disk. When you go to infinity, the metric asymptotes to ADS5 times S5. But in the interior, there are thin lines are locations where the S4 vanishes. Thick lines are locations where S2 vanishes, meaning that if you have a cycle like that, that's a 5 sphere. If you have a cycle like that, that's a 3 sphere. So the presence of these non-trivial cycles for these geometries dual to a Wilson line of heavy representation has these non-trivial cycles, which are supported by the presence of fluxes. So on S5, you'll have the five across S5, you have five form flux. Across S3, you can have F3 or the NSNS H3. So they're really non-trivial geometries, but techniques for actually generating these solutions is remarkably simple. They involve sort of finding two harmonic functions. So this group reduced this problem of finding 10D type 2B supergravity geometries down to finding two harmonic functions satisfying some stringent regularity conditions. So by the way, these fluxes really indicate that now the brains that were present are really sort of dissolved into this geometry. R is a huge representation, yeah.
Of what?
Of the Wilson loop.
Of UN.
Yeah.
Okay. And like shape of corresponding Jung diagram is corresponding to geometry somehow, yes?
So this is the geometry. So I should have clarified this point. Yeah. So on this lower half plane, which is a disk, mm-hmm. There's a pole at infinity. ADS 5 times S5, there is a warped vibration of ADS 2 cross S2 times S4 over this. Mm-hmm. But the metric functions of all of these components are given in a non-trivial manner by simple functions.
Okay. There is some complicated construction which we should not understand now. Like you're just stating the result.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I can explain how they did this.
There are several variants of these. There is one for half VPS domain walls,
right,
for example, which looks very similar.
Right.
Just exchange some ADS2 with ADS4 and S4 with S2.
Right. Yeah.
And others.
So.
Black segment would be like the D3 brain back reaction, and the tiny white segment would be like a D5 brain back reaction, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are here big stacks of D3s and D4s, and D5s in the bug intuitively. But
and what is parameter N1 and N2 and so corresponding geometry? Those are fluxes?
Charges.
Okay.
So here it says there is an S3 or there is an S5 with flux N1, then there is an S3 with flux N2.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, these geometries are given by two harmonic functions which obey some stringent regularity conditions. And the task of finding this geometry is equivalent to finding the appropriate set of these two functions. I'm just claiming a result. These are geometries, these are backreacted geometries dual to a particular representation R. But there hasn't been much study of geometries dual to reducible representations or infinite sums over representations.
That's actually an advertising problem, which is that this should also be a setting that is amenable at least to the logarithm perspective.
Hmm.
So, I mean, there is a localization, there is a twist of Hennigan force per mu, so the twist of lines survive. And Hennigan force per mu looks like 2DM mills.
Right.
And there should be an holographic dual, just a sector with some twisted geometries, which should just be a piece of these geometries here.
I see.
These are cut down. You should contain them all, right?
Yeah, it should contain them all, but present it in a simplified way. Like instead of a mesh, a sort of full supergravity solution, it would look like some manifold with some structure. I don't know if it's a complex structure or holomorphic foliation or whatnot. Be a nice example where you know the supergravity solutions and you might know the twisted dual. The twisted holography dual too. So one might be able to. Could be a good example to have a nice dictionary where you can really lift twisted solutions to spaghetti solutions.
In terms of like bubbling Calabi-Yau?
Yes.
I see. So we'll make an ansatz for what a particular. So I had sort of written down an operator, and which looks like it should come from 2 ADS5 times S5, which looks like it should have 2 ADS5 times S5 regions. And I claim that one can find a set of H1 and H2 such that now this lower half plane is represented as a disk, such that one has, so the poles of these functions have poles and cuts, and some poles indicate that there's an ADS5 times S5 point, and the cuts are the same as the ones there. So, and we-
Harmonic functions on the disk, there's nothing.
That's right, harmonic functions on the disk, and you can also find generalizations. Right. Yeah, so these are indeed real parts of the holomorphic function. So one can even, I mean, but these cuts have to be sort of, these cuts you cannot just put arbitrarily many of them or adjust them in whatever way you like. They need to be symmetric. So you can even find solutions with 4 asymptotic, what looks like 4 asymptotic ADS5 times S5 boundaries. So if you look at the conformal boundary structure of this, remember that ADS2 was fibered over every point of that thing. So it means that wherever you are in the bulk, you can access the conformal boundary by going along ADS2. But you can only access the S1 component of the conformal boundary. So you have a shared S1. But you can have, by going to other ADS5 times S5 points, you can sort of access different S4s for which this S1 is shared. So I might. So one can really think of them as coming from some connected conformal boundary. Although, when you do this infinite sum in the gauge theory in the first place, you're not really you're just doing an infinite sum of operators. You're not really doing any kind of a gluing operation on the manifold.
The truth for the theorists are talking to the one-dimensional system, so they're definitely both there. Right?
They are, but if you just look at the integrated out version, there's a in the sum end, it's completely factorized.
You find a line defect in the quantum position theories.
Yes, in the sense, yeah. So. Yeah, so we're interpreting this supergravity solution to be some diagonal identification of supercharges. Let's study the properties of this geometry. We can measure.
Can you explain this picture?
picture again. I think I zoomed out for a second. What are these two spheres?
These two spheres are conformal boundaries, two S4s.
S4s, okay.
Yeah, they're intersecting along an S1. So if you look at the conformal boundary structure of these geometries, they look like this. On this lower half plane, we're going to call the endpoints of the cuts A and B. Okay, so B is greater than A, but then it'll turn out that they both scale like square root of the tuft coupling. So we wanted to study fluxes across the boundary and these cuts, and there's an S5 here. One can compute the charge, D3 charge, it turns out that the D3 charges are equal for the two boundaries and the cuts, with opposite sign for the cuts. And this is given, this is just integration. It reduces to an integration along gamma of some function defined in terms of h1 and h2. And the result is so with alpha prime set equal to 1, the result is this expression doesn't. And you can also from this you can also compute the fluxes, which we'll see from also the matrix model perspective. Fluxes are.
Sorry, I think I'm lost. So there was some previous construction for some
yes.
particular class of harmonic functions that
yes.
describes geometries for a single Wilson loop.
That's right.
What you are proposing here is now a different class of harmonic functions that should be the one that if I have the sum of products of those loops, right?
That's right.
So can you just make a few comments about what were the functions before and what are the functions now? What's the new difference? Is this cut?
Oh, the new difference is the introduction, the change of the boundary condition. So all these geometries didn't have a had only one eddy S5 times S5 pole, but.
Can you say this pole?
So pole means ADS5 times S5. Pole means as you approach the pole, you get ADS5. The metric degenerates to ADS5 times S5.
And this happens when this harmonic function has a pole. When it has a pole,
yeah.
it blows up. And
right.
The metric simplifies, and it looks like ADS5. So
right.
If it blows up in two places, it's like a two ADS5 bridge.
Yes. But because ADS2 is fibered, one has to conclude that there's a common S1. There's a common S1 fibered over that's shared among the conformal boundary S4s. It turns out that this geometry is almost trivial. It turns out to be it has constant dilaton. It has no H3 F3. It's locally ADS5 times S5. This really comes from the constraints the constraints that the harmonic functions have to satisfy.
So that last statement seems very important. It's locally ADS5 times S5. Those were not, right?
Were not, no.
So this solution is ADS5 times S5 in this
yes.
guy?
Yes. So let me try to explain why. I'm going to explain a problem with this geometry. There's a big problem. And there's a conical defect at the center.
Or excess.
Excess at the center. That's a big problem.
But I took ADS5 and went
and you double cover. Yes. So this geometry happens to be a double cover of ADS5 times S5. I'm going to try to explain why an operator that involves an infinite sum of representation. So I'm not going to provide a bulk explanation of this phenomenon. I spent a long time thinking about it and didn't get anywhere.
What does explanation be?
I'm going to motivate why an operator, which involves an infinite sum of pairs of Wilson lines, it can just leads to a simple geometry, which is a gluing of two ADS5 times S5. So, the reason to expect this simplicity is that it's more enlightening at this point to consider not the analytically continued Gaussian matrix model, but the UN version. So I'm going to give a toy reason why this strict gluing is should be expected. Although we cannot provide an explanation for this conical excess from the bulk. So for UN matrices, turns out that an infinite sum of representations of U and V, these are holonomy matrices. So this is turns out to be a delta function, which just identifies U and V. So so inserting this operator in the UN theory is like strictly gluing the two geometries. Although this doesn't have a geometric interpretation because we're considering a toy example of UN. And this is a mathematical identity in the UN case where all the eigenvalues are delta function identified and are summed over all the permutations of that identification. One can try to resolve such an object by introducing a mass for the bifundamental fields, and suppose L is like the mass, and the contribution goes like this. Now. And it's not a delta function, but it's a determinant operator. It's an inverse determinant operator. So this sort of introduction of a small mass can regulate the delta function into a determinant operator. So the hope is that introducing this L would somehow regulate what's going on here. So everything was mild everywhere here.
What motivation did you have to start with to identify that with the unregulated thing? You get your construction, but you have not given any motivation to be there really.
Yeah, actually. The motivation came from topological string literature that also considered these objects and seemed to get a mirror dual B model geometry, which was mirror dual to some A model geometry with connected. S3 along S1, along some knot.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Hermitian, the well.
Is there any quantity compute test the statements? Like, for example, here you could put any number of Wilson lines on top of the one you already have, right?
That's right, yeah.
Could you compare the answer with the area of some EDS of some worksheet in the geometry?
So we can do something even more direct than that. We can look at the matrix model directly. And there was identification. So the follow-up works of this work made identification of this sigma with the spectral curve of the Gaussian matrix model with insertion of representation, insertion of a Wilson loop in R. And we can look at the spectral curve. Yeah, but we can look at the spectral curve, and see that the spectral curve. Yes, so we get the H1s and H2s from the spectral curve.
Ah, okay. You should say so from the beginning, yes. Right? Not to wait until somebody asks a question. You see the major.
Well, I was getting there.
Major point.
Okay. Yes, that's the major point. So the operator that we want to consider is sort of a super version of what was written there. It's a O. Yes.
Erase the rest of the word.
See, the operator that we're inserting into the matrix model is a super version of what's written there. It's a ratio of those things, one fermionic one and the other bosonic one. And that could be written equivalently as a determinant over n squared by n squared matrices of one tensor one plus e to the m1 tensor e to the minus m2.
Minus?
Yes, minus. There's the orientation. So it's a minor point and it doesn't really matter in the end.
The actual space on the square, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Yes, yeah.
But it's not going to be a spectral curve off.
Yes. So insertion of 012, 021 in 12.
Do you choose this?
It's plastic, you know? The M2, it's not mine.
I think it's a minor point, but the
makes no difference.
Yeah, it makes no difference. You'll see.
It will make a difference if you change it in order one and in order two. So why are you putting two O's inside?
Well, we were considering a. This generalizes to. A ring, a daisy chain of.
It doesn't. The ring would have had four gauge theories. What
I mean is, the analog of the cyclic chain for two gauge theories is 012, 021. This is a cyclic insertion.
But it's not what we've been talking about at all, right?
It's a super version of that. I can write it down. Yeah. So the square of this thing, so actually with the minus signs switched around, so 0,1,2, 0,2,1 is equal to sum over.
So 0,2,1 is going to have to partition. Minus M1 equal to M2.
Yes.
Both factors will have plus on top and minus on bottom.
Yes. Yeah. So this can be written as sums over super characters. So it's like GLN slash N. So Hookshire polynomials.
So it's a different system.
Yes, it's a bit different, but I try to motivate things from my easier perspective.
Okay.
So this.
So which representation? If I expand the representations instead of super representations, what do I get?
Can I add a comment on that? Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, so you could actually just consider the bosonic determinants, as originally Jihoon was saying. The only issue there that the resulting geometry would be unstable. So if you want the geometry to be stable and the configuration stable, that's why you need to consider the supersymmetric version.
What does stable mean?
So
you would find a saddle or a configuration of a distribution of eigenvalues that under small perturbations would be unstable if you just have the bosonic variant.
Yeah.
But can you find the spectral curve for just one determinant?
Not a stable one.
What does?
So you can study the force equations, the saddle point equations of the eigenvalues. And if we do what we need to do in order to get that spectral curve, there's a condensate of eigenvalues sort of that's sitting at the origin. The forces are balanced here.
It's not time, right?
This is not time.
I'm saying, what does table even mean? Why would
it just means that the
saddles have to be maxima or minima?
It just means that the force equations are such that
you can call force equations, and that leads to a rational stability. But they are not really forces; that you're just doing a saddle point evaluation of an integral.
Yes. But they.
So stability does not mean stability in the sense.
Maybe stability is not the right word. The right word is that there's no equilibrium configuration.
So there's no saddle?
Yes.
So there's no spectral curve?
No, with this insertion, no, there is.
One determinant. You were talking about one determinant
yes.
now, so let's not throw it away before you.
So, right, so that one does not have an equilibrium distribution. So the forces are not balanced.
But the integral must have a saddle, right?
No, it is a saddle.
Is it
a saddle, but it's unstable?
No, the forces on the eigenvalues are not balanced.
What forces?
The saddle equation is not satisfied.
Goes to the equilibrium condition for a bunch of particles, but they're not a bunch of particles. They are not forces, right? It's just we're trying to minimize a function. That's
yes.
all.
Yes, but it, I mean, it's very useful to think in terms of these eigenvalues.
Useful is a very loaded word.
I think it'd be
useful way to confuse things.
I think it'd be very interesting to study to see if there are possible duals of something like this with these UNVs replaced with e to the m1 and m2.
So I think you had written before.
Yes.
Sum over r.
Yes.
That was not a determinant, or was it a determinant?
That was a determinant. That's just this determinant.
Are you sure? Or yes. Is this the one with already e to the minus L?
No, no.
No, okay.
E to the minus L is like inserting another factor here.
Understood, thank you. Okay, so if I put one of the determinants inside this Gaussian integral.
Yes.
It converges, I think.
Okay.
So the Gaussian makes it converge. So can I do a subtle point approximation for that?
I suppose one can, but one has to make some ansatz for the eigenvalue distribution.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not seeing any that's in which the equations are satisfied, in which the saddle point equations are satisfied.
Okay, so you cannot find the saddle, is that what you're saying?
Not that I can see, yeah.
Okay. But you can put four determinants, that statement?
Yes, that's right. So why do, well, so here one needs a pair of these determinants, because in order to get some, there's an effective potential that we'll introduce. In order to get this effective potential, one needs the van der Mond repulsion to exactly cancel out.
Oh, and one look very similar, right? Because I can just multiply the math, but e to the minus one.
Yeah, in fact, you can just make this a plus, and they're just squares.
This is the square of something times e to the trace of m, or something like that. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Do you have any theory or physical, any reason to look at this besides the fact it works?
I think it'd be. I want to use this talk as sort of an opportunity to get further feedback about this, about the top down statement. Well, there's a standard van der Mond repulsion between the eigenvalues. With the Gaussian measure. And there are pairs of infinite products. And something similar with the sign switched. And the saddle point equations that arise from this, so.
If you, I don't think you need to write the saddle point. Do you really want to write all the saddle point?
No, okay.
You really want to write.
Okay, but maybe I'll so. So what's happening is that there's a repulsion. This is an attraction, and they're both divergent. Okay. This is a repulsion. This is a repulsive force, which but it's a milder repulsive force. And there's an overall, at large lambda, there's an overall weak harmonic potential. Okay, so if one writes down the eigenvalue equations, one can see that at short distances the attraction exactly cancels with the repulsion, and this means that at large n you can put, it's possible to put a large amount of condensate. A condensate of eigenvalues in
as long as you have an m and mu and a nu
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So with scales that's shorter than any other scales that are present in the problem, the fact that you have an attractive force like this and a repulsive force like this means that you can really cancel them and form some condensate. But the difference is that this one decays exponentially, while this one decays like an inverse power law in the force equations. So which means that the effective potential, so I'll just be schematic, but the effective potential looks like there's an overall harmonic potential, but there's a huge condensate in the middle. And suppose you put a big fraction of eigenvalues in the center. The effective potential is such that you sort of get a pole in the middle. So there's an overall repulsion away from the center. And for the rest of the eigenvalues, which are not contained inside this n hat, they'll form a two-cut configuration. And well, using standard techniques in matrix models, one can show that the planar resolvent becomes something like this. So there's an effective potential, and the effect of that on the planar resolvent, which summarizes the force that a pro particle would see at large n, goes like this.
These are the two paths and the poles, and the pole at infinity.
Right. So this is a pole at infinity, this is a pole at origin, and one has to impose regularity on that sheet of the spectral curve, so which means that you can fix n, the small n, the proportion that's condensed at the origin, and this factor by imposing regularity of that sheet. And you can also, it happens that you can also determine a and b. So the total resolvent turns out to be a and b scale like square root of lambda. Where A can be determined by normalization of the density, A can be determined to be this. B can be determined to be the one with the opposite sign. One thing to notice is that, so the thing that's nice about this is that one can map this to by a variant of the Joukowsky map. One can map this to the x-plane with two sheets. So x of z goes like z minus AB over Z. This is a non-standard type of Joukowsky map. So one can map this to two spectral curves, two sheets of a single spectral curve. which has cuts going in the imaginary direction to infinity. So this is not the eigenvalue distribution. This is just a branch cut. Okay. And these eigenvalues get mapped to a standard Gaussian distribution that's centered at the origin with square root of lambda, like square root of lambda. So what did we get? Because of the presence of the attractive force, we're able to condense eigenvalues in the center, creating this effective potential. And one gets two copies of the standard spectral curve, which is dual to ADS5 times S5s. So go here, come out here, go here, you come out here. So somehow,
you mentioned you can find the H's. How do you get the H's?
So the H's are so the H2 is related to this factor. H1 is related to this factor. The H's were two harmonic functions that specify the geometry.
Okay. Sorry, and 2AV is one, right?
Can you?
That's right.
So it means that this N is one, right?
But there were two N eigenvalues total. So if N is one, then that means half of the total number of eigenvalues were condensed.
Remind me, in this match between the H's and omega, can one, for example, match the area of some ADS2 with the expectation value of the insertion of a Wilson line here? Like, to insert the trace of e to the m, right?
Yeah.
That means I'm setting sum of e to the mu. So then something like an integral of e to the mu omega, or something like that, along the cut. Can I match it with the area of an ADS2 in the geometry? Finding the same functions might be an accident, but if you can really match the area of a Wilson line probing the geometry, of a worksheet probing the geometry with the subtle value of a Wilson line on the matrix model, that would considerably strengthen the dictionary.
Yes. I think it's sort of, so one has to evaluate the trace of the probe trace, the probe Wilson loop on this,
yes,
this distribution.
But the leading order would be just the integral of e to the z over the cut, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
I'm trying to say that because the spectral curve matches the H1s and H2s of the geometry, they're guaranteed to be the same.
Matching two functions is not, it might be very trivial, but not. So I assume that the area of ADS2 would be some function of the H's in the geometry. And the expectation value of the Wilson line would be some function of omega. So because the two should be the same area, gives you a motivation to say that omega is related to H in a specific way.
Okay.
It would seem to be a safer
way. I see.
To make a statement than just matching the functional form of shooting.
Okay. Yeah.
Accidents happen.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Essentially, it was a way to probe really the functional form.
one can also do a match with the one with four asymptotic.
It
is five times S5 regions.
It would better to use a D5 or a D3 prime. Not like the determinant of one minus e to the n, or a resolvent. The resolvent, usually matrix models, the resolvent is related to an insertion subdeterminants, right?
Right.
The resolvent is a trace, but e to the integral of the resolvent usually is the integral of the insertion determinants.
Yes.
It might be possible to really make a sharp match between volumes or of regions in between actions of DBI actions of probes in the geometry and calculations in the matrix model.
Okay.
I think that will strengthen the results considerably.
Okay. I'll ask you more about this. Thank you. Thank you. Well, that's it. Thank you.
Any further questions for June?
Just a quick, maybe it's a very naive question, but there were some works I remember at some point. Are people trying to match localization results with integrability results to try to, for example, in ABJM, there was some function f of lambda that was not known, and by matching the results from integrability to some matrix model computation where you got some two-cut solution like this, they managed to extract a proposal for this h of lambda.
H of lambda.
Yeah, okay, let me maybe try to ask a different question. Yeah, I think it's a bit related to the kind of computation that Avida was suggesting, that if you could consider indeed some string probe on this geometry, right? Then it sees this cut that has lambda, but this cut is an artifact, right? So at finite time, it's a condensation of poles, right?
Yes.
So understanding the correction to this cut and this condensation of poles could be interesting from an integrability point of view, where we only see everything with these Joukowsky cuts and so on, but these matrix model computations help us and go beyond large N and undo a little bit these cuts and see the discrete nature. Could be a way of trying to lift or embed some integrability into the results.
So undo these cuts or with this cut?
I think the middle one.
This one, okay.
Okay, it's a vague comment. I can try to discuss a bit more later.
Okay, that'd be good. Thank you.
Okay, let's thank Jihyo again.